Good morning, Seattle and Little Saigon and all those places we dream about, where we close our eyes at night. Good morning to Hawaii and Tahiti. Good morning to Chicago. Good morning to Detroit. Good morning to Dallas, Fort Worth, and gonna drink a little bit of water here. Good morning to Dallas, Fort Worth, and Plano, Texas. Good morning to all the folks that live in the vicinity of this orbis called planet Earth. It's 2 a.m. on February the 8th, Saturday, 2020. Pacific Standard Time. Indeed, it is February the 8th, 2020, right around 2 a.m. here in Seattle. The dark, dark flicker of that infinite candle that is only lit by the devils in hell. The dark flicker of that terrible, terrible wick has been lit. Now that the creepy crawlies are beginning to see the Blinkist time. Now that the Fremulac folk are starting to crawl out of the sewers, you feel safe? Are you ready to engage with the possibility that everything you see is a vapor? Indeed, my friends, it is a strange time of the morning, right around 2 a.m. Right around 2 a.m. is where you say to yourself, "What have I done with my life? Ain't nothing good." Nothing good done with this here life. Nothing good for the people of the Kremulak, the folk that live amongst the forest kings. When you look back upon your life, do you say to yourself, you're nothing but a broken, broken person? I don't know, folks. I don't know. I was thinking today about the value of the US dollar. When I was a kid, one of the most shocking events of the 1970s, it truly was shocking because it shocked my pa. My father was shocked by this when a candy bar suddenly cost a quarter. 25 cents for a Snickers. Yes, back in the 1970s, when all of a sudden a candy bar cost a quarter, my dad freaked out like, holy fuck, you know? When I was a kid, a penny would buy you candy. Father, when you were a child. Yeah, he's not with us though. When you were a child. When you were a child, my father, they would use leeches to bleed people. Yes, I was thinking about the value of a dollar today, and it struck me that maybe the reason why they're building the super collider, the superconducting Large Hadron Particle super collider at CERN, the reason why they built it, they didn't build it to study the Higgs boson particle. That's bullshit. No, the collider was not built to study particles, the God particles. That's bullshit. The collider was designed to study the value of the dollar because it had become so small. Yes, in the year 1981, Paul Volcker, Fed Chairman, went to the Fed chairs and said, "Listen, listen, my friends, the dollar is rapidly losing value, and we are losing our ability as a central bank to monitor its value. We need to build a super-colliding super-collider, a device that will allow us to measure the approximate value of the US dollar." According to our accountants at the Los Alamos Labs in Lawrence Livermore and Argonne, according to our accountants that utilize atomic clocks and linear accelerators, which are no longer useful, according to our accountants, we can no longer measure the value of the dollar. They've said it is a quantity without definition. So I have commissioned the governments of the world to build super colliders. We're going to build one right here in Dallas. We're going to build a collider here, but they're also going to build one over there in Europe. Fuck. Fucking Europeans. Fucking Europeans. So in 1982, Volcker goes to scientific research groups in Europe and says, "Listen, my friends, listen, Dr. Snerbus. Listen, Dr. Snerbus, we need this collider up and running soon. My friends tell me in 5 years we'll lose control of the value of the dollar. So get this device running so we can measure it, and then we will no longer have to fear. Indeed, the first superconducting supercollider to be functional, the one at CERN. Its cover story was to study the God particle, but who could believe that bullshit? No. The reason why it went online several years ago is because the European Central Bank, the Swiss National Bank, and the Federal Reserve of the United States, you know, what it used to be, they decided they needed to measure the value of the dollar. They need to bring that fucker online. But there was a problem with their plan, because the money needed to build the collider, the real amount, not the amount they said, that was a lie. That was a lie. The true amount was approximately $20 trillion. $20 trillion, and, you know, they didn't really know how they would hide that shit. They had no idea. They knew that people were stupid, but... but how stupid were people? Were they that stupid? In the year 2023, the total available amount of measurable currency on planet Earth exceeded the amounts required to fund the current collider. The current collider was required to measure the amounts. This was a problem. So in the year 2023, Jerome Powell, wearing a codpiece and nothing else, he goes before the Congress of the World. At that time, a one-world government has been established because of the fucking virus. And he says, "Listen, my friends, this new one-world currency is awesome. But we've already lost our ability to measure it. Indeed, we're gonna need a new accelerator, a bigger one. Well, they say, because at this point, you know, Jerome Powell, he's not just really the Fed chairman. He's the chairman of all banks on planet Earth. That's why he wears a golden codpiece and nothing else. A golden codpiece studded with rubies and emeralds. Yes, he struts about with his shaved legs and his shaved arms and a golden codpiece covered in rubies and emeralds. Indeed, he is now the chairman of all the banks on planet Earth, and he needs to know how much it's worth. So we need a new accelerator, and this one will have to be, well, pretty fucking big. The accelerator would have to span the distance of the circumference of the planet Earth. It would have to be able to push a proton to approximately 78.6 times the speed of light. Did I just say that? None of this, oh, we're gonna push a proton close to the speed of light bullshit. No, 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 no. We're gonna push that proton past 70 times. The speed of light. Now, this new accelerator that will allow us to measure the immeasurable, which includes the value of the current world currency. Yes, indeed. It'll be a big accelerator. Mr. Chairman? Yeah? How much is this going to cost? Well, let me tell you. The cost of the accelerator that will accelerate a proton to 76 times the speed of light and will be roughly the circumference of the Earth. In fact, it will wrap around the equator like a giant but very thin donut, and it will be powered by solar panels 24 hours a day. For 24 hours a day, we will pump energy into protons. We'll accelerate them to 76 times the speed of light, approximately. And then we will be able to control the world currency. We'll find those fractions that are missing. We'll find those little bits we haven't extracted yet. But, Mr. Chairman, I asked you how much this thing would cost. Well, 5.6 times 10 to the 800th power. That's an estimate, plus or minus 50%. I guess you can all see where this is headed. I don't know. I was thinking today about the futility, the impossibility, the absurdity of these central banks. They have infinite power. They really do. I mean, you could argue that the Tower of Babel of this age, it isn't a form of technology. It really isn't. It's debt. The basic belief is that this debt is real and it can be piled and it can be recorded and it can be repaid. But the bankers know the secret destiny of debt. It can never and will never be repaid. That is the secret destiny of debt. Now you say, but Dan, I pay my credit card bill every week. Well, I know you do. But the banks don't. In fact, the banks have something called the repo window. And that repo window, it's expanding. You remember our good friend Gus? Our good friend Gus. He has an office at the Eccles building. Our good friend Gus has a button, and on it is a word, and the word says money. And every time Gus presses this button, a massive injection of silvery white, greasy hot goodness shoots into the banks to give them liquidity. Liquidity. They get a liquidity injection. You know, in Pioneer Square on a Saturday night, that costs you $100. Indeed, a liquidity injection in Pioneer Square, Seattle on a Friday or Saturday night will probably cost you $50, maybe $100. You know, if you don't want to wear a condom. Why don't we switch topics and talk about something called Event 201? Now, let me tell you something. If I, myself, and I, me, myself, and I, if I were going to create a rave that a bunch of kids were going to go to, like let's say I was 30 years younger, and I wanted to create an event rave, I'd call it Event 201, and I would hold it at some warehouse in Soto. I'd hand out those fucking glowy bullshit. Indeed. Indeed. So let's read about Event 201. And this is a link I'll include in the notes of this podcast. It comes from a website that, it's funny, it says not secure. I guess they didn't keep their fucking SSL certificate up to date. Kind of makes you wonder. Anyways, comes from a site, centerforhealthsecurity.org/event201/about. And this is the About page. About Event 201 exercise. Event 201 was a 3.5-hour pandemic tabletop exercise that simulated a series of dramatic, scenario-based, facilitated discussions confronting difficult, true-to-life dilemmas associated with response to a hypothetical but scientifically plausible pandemic. 15 global business, government, and public health leaders were players in the simulation exercise that highlighted unresolved real-world policy and economic issues that could be solved with sufficient political will, financial investment, and attention now and in the future. The exercise consisted of pre-recorded news broadcasts, live staff briefings, and moderated discussions on specific topics. These issues were carefully designed in a compelling narrative that educated the participants and the audience. The Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, World Economic Forum, and Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation jointly proposes these recommendations. Yeah. So, Event 201 was held in October of 2019, which technically would make it about a month before the first cases of the Wu flu happened. Approximately a fucking month. Yeah, Friday, October the 18th, 2019, about 6 weeks before the first case of Wu flu, there was a special Event 201 simulation held at the Pierre Hotel, New York City, 8:45 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we all know the history of exercises and shit they do. They love to have exercises right before shit they do. right before shit they do. They love to have exercises. They love to do crap like this. I don't even know what to tell you guys. I just think the whole thing is so fucking ridiculous. And do I think this is a philanthropic thing? It says Event 201 was supported by funding from Open Philanthropy Project. No, let me translate. It was supported by people that follow Satan. And this was a plan, and this was an exercise, and this particular little meeting, this had nothing to do with planning. No. You could call it predictive programming, but I don't want to call it that either. No. And it could be part of the ceremony, separate topic. This is a psyop, folks. It's a psyop. They held this little thing to cover their asses. Oh, we were geniuses. We thought about this before it happened. We had a fucking vaccine and an HIV drug ready to go. Indeed. Indeed, those fucks. Yeah, what do you guys think? Event 201. Randomly, and the funny thing is, here's the funny thing I'll say about Event 201, even though I think it's a kind of a form of bullshit. It does kind of remind me of the sort of, military decision-making process, MDMP. And what you would do in wargaming an operations order before you sent it out. Like, hey, we got to get our plan correct, so let's get a bunch of smart people together and war game it a little. But what if people wonder? Well, we'll call it Event 201. Why are we calling it Event 201? Well, I'll tell you why, buddy. In 20 plus 1 days, it begins. Yeah, I don't know what to think about Event 201, folks. I just don't know. It's like this fucking virus. The thing for people like us is we all we can do is make guesses. Oh, but Dan, you can have faith in certain political leaders, really? Which ones? But you can have faith in certain alternative media. You mean the ones that tell me that Trump is Jesus? Because here's what I know. Trump is not Jesus. Trump is also not a very good man. If you investigate Trump's history, he's kind of a fucking scumbag. So please tell me again why I should believe that Trump had a road to Damascus moment. He didn't, okay? He's part of the same fucking theater. He's an actor, he's a player. He's no more real than Obama. If you thought Obama was real, then you have to concede that Trump is real. Obama was fake as fuck. Obama was totally fake. Obama was total crap. And a lot of fucking liberals got suckered. There are a lot of honest people in the world, like actually honest people who, believe stupid shit, but they're good people. And a lot of good, honest liberals got totally fucking taken by Obama. He was bullshit. He was nothing. There was nothing about him that had to do with equality or helping people or doing any of the bullshit that liberals always say they want to do. He supported the military-industrial complex. He supported the bankers. He basically kept the wars going and expanded them. That's Obama's legacy. A Trump's legacy is going to be the same, assuming, there's another iteration or two left in this, what is it, the Republic? I don't know what it is now. I think it's an empire. No, I know it's an empire, but what kind of empire? Who knows? It is an empire with a shadow government. And you might argue, well, Dan, hasn't that always been true? Like, probably we know about the Caesars, but do we really know who really ran Rome? Maybe we don't. Maybe all we know about are the fucking jokers who end up in the history books, you know? Josephus writes about them, you know? Tacitus will fucking write about them. And you'll read in Tacitus about them, say, oh, well, these are real people. Germanicus was a real person. But maybe these guys were just the equivalent of Donald Trump and Obama back in the day. And they were total bullshit. And in reality, Rome was run by a cabal, hidden behind the doors, pulling all the strings. Yeah, in reality, it could have been that. Could have been that. Could have been that. Don't know what to tell you guys. This event 201 seems like some kind of, I don't know. I want to say fucking bullshit, but it really does seem like bullshit. Okay, here comes our feel-good story for the week. Assuming we can get to the website, because this website is sometimes in a weird state. It's you know, this article, the feel-good article for today, not for the week, but just for, it comes from Weekly World News. Weekly World News, the world's only reliable news source, and at this point I think that's true. Weekly World News, the world's only reliable news. I can't really disagree with that in 2020. Stock headline from Weekly World News, and this is published on February the 5th, 2020, written by James Vancey, although I think that's a pseudonym for a chimp. Stock picking chimp says Tesla is bananas. As a RIC, registered investment chimp, it's my duty to protect customers from market mania, and when a stock does what Tesla's doing, with no fundamental change in their outlook, we have entered totally bananas territory. My phone's ringing off the hook about Tesla. I've been so busy speaking with Jane Goodall's family office, a few unruly orangutans, a nice gibbon couple, and my buddy Jim Chanos about the gyrations of Tesla that I've neglected sounding an alarm in my WWN column until now. Let's look at some facts. Tesla makes incredible cars. I drive one sitting on a milk crate and is a true pioneer in electric vehicles. Federal tax subsidies of up to $7,500 used to drive Tesla sales, but these subsidies went to zero on January the 1st, 2020. That's not good for business, nor is coronavirus in its fastest growing market. Tesla is just a kid compared to the other automakers with global dealer service networks, powerful brands built by decades of advertising exposure, and huge installed customer bases. And these competitors are gunning for EV, that's electric vehicle, dominance, as evident in many Super Bowl ads. To deserve its current share price, Elon Musk must navigate Tesla from its relatively small scale and entrepreneurial culture to build out the disciplined strategy and formal management structure necessary to grow its business to the scale of far larger competitors. Finally, in the short run, the market is a voting machine, but in the long run, it is a weighing machine. So saith my main man, Benjamin Graham. And while there seems a lot more voting going on, my negative investment view on Tesla is centered on valuation. Is the company worth approximately $160 billion valuation implied by its recent share price, which exceeds $900? That's the question. My answer to this question is to invoke another unsustainable mania. Bell bottoms. Get my drift? Let's just be content that fashion derailment was neither a stock nor an ETF. Putting Tesla's valuation into perspective, I prepared a comparison of Tesla and its competitors based on what they are worth, market cap, their revenue and price sales ratio, a ratio of their market cap compared to revenue. Data on the left is sorted by market cap with Tesla in number two position, and data on the right is sorted by annual revenue, on which measure Tesla is dead last. Yeah, on annual revenue. That looks bad. Yeah. So left is market cap, and the only company, I'm taking a pause here. This is actually a pretty good article from Weekly World News. The only company with bigger market cap than Tesla is Toyota. And in terms of annual revenue, Tesla is dead last by a ways, really. Based on this data, this chimp will bet every magic stone that I collected prior to my domestication education, including CFA certification, which was later contested due to my species, that despite Elon Musk's genius, his company does not warrant being valued nearly 8 times higher than its closest competitor, Toyota. It just boggles my simian brain. The only way Tesla could possibly grow its massive valuation would be to bolt on the business base and managerial discipline of a few competitors using its overvalued shares. But honestly, the ensuing culture clash would not end well. It reminds me of when a neighboring chimpanzee troop tried to plunder our more organized society. It didn't end well. And the image of their shaking bodies running into the bushes as we pelted them with sticks, stones, and fecal matter. But I digress. To be clear, this chimp is drawing a line in the sand that says Tesla does not make sense at $800 or $900. It keeps bouncing around as I write, though it could get even crazier before Ben Graham's investment Wayne begins to enforce a rational valuation for the company's long-term cash flow potential. The danger is significant, as valuing Tesla at 0.32 times revenue, the median valuation for the auto peers above, would trim Tesla's shares to $42. Trust me, that's no more fun than falling out of a tree. During this period of extreme volatility, the SPC relies on my grandfather's saying, "Don't put your fingers in the mouth of a lion, because you never know when the lion will wake." Treat your hard-earned investment bananas like your precious fingers. Put them in your pocket or somewhere, just far from the lion's choppers, because we just don't know when he will awake. And that's why even trying to play Tesla on the short side could quickly end your piano playing. Until next time, yours truly, James Vansey, the stock-picking chimpanzee. Folks, it's funny, but this article comes from Weekly World News, which is technically the worst tabloid ever, right? And this might be one of the best written articles on Tesla I've read in a while. I mean, in terms of it getting right to the fucking point. I'm of a mind that this might be just an amazing fucking article on Tesla. So if you're into Tesla, read this Weekly World News article. Like I said, The chimp says the price of Tesla is $42 a share. Not $800. Not $450. Not $200. Not $150. $42 a share. $42 a share. I think I'm going to call this one dead for this little Saigon report, because I feel like we've gotten everything we could. Not quite an hour, but you know what? Not every little Saigon report has to go an hour or longer than an hour. Sometimes all we do is spend a little time with each other early in the morning. as early reported, Chapter 2 of Little Saigon Diary. It should be out in a day or two. I was thinking tomorrow, but tomorrow might be a day for the beer and the weed. Or should I say today? If you listen to this fucking podcast and you wonder to yourself why, that's okay. It's kind of like one of those Rorschach inkblot tests, you know, the ink blots they'd show you. What the fuck does this look like? What does it look like to you? But if you listen to this podcast and then, because of synesthesia, you say, what does this look like? And you've taken care of your food, your water, your shelter, your chimpanzees, your monkeys with herpes, all your French bulldogs and your time-traveling toasters. If you've covered all your bases and your bunker time, you've got all your boxes of MREs and all the gumbus, you've got your protein and your cubes, you've got your lithium and your fucking hydrogen fuel cells. If you've covered all your bases and you've helped out your friends, your family, your neighbors, the people you love, and you still have money left over, fuck. God bless you. And you like my podcast, God bless you. You can donate to my podcast. There's a link to Venmo and PayPal in the description of this podcast. And there's a link to Venmo and or PayPal, either one, on my SoundCloud homepage, which you can get to conveniently at iamsully.com. I can use whatever money you can give me. If you're really rich and you want to help out some pathetic old fool achieve his dream of getting hookers and cocaine, you can help me out. Hookers and cocaine, that shit ain't cheap. Hookers and cocaine is not cheap, my friend. That's right, if you enjoy this podcast, if you've taken care of your food, your water, your shelter, and you still have a little money left over to spend on cocaine yourself, and you want to help me get some cocaine, whiskey, hookers, food, water, shelter first, though. Food, water, shelter first, then hookers and cocaine in that order. Yes, like Sally Struthers, you can help out this one kid get his cocaine and hookers. She's looking at you with them sad eyes. She's saying, you can help out this one kid get his cocaine and hookers. And for this Saturday, February the 8th, 2020, the plague year, the year of monkey herpes, the year of chimpanzees picking stocks, the year of Tesla being worth way too much or way too little depending upon how you divide by zero. Again, you divide by zero, could be zero, could be infinity. Could be infinity, my friends, we don't know. We don't know the true value of the US dollar. We don't know the true value of the US economy. We don't know the true value of Tesla. Could be zero. Could be infinity. Up to you to figure out. And one day in the year 2023, a Jerome Powell, now chairman of the World Central Bank, wearing a golden codpiece encrusted with rubies and fucking emeralds and covered in dried cum, he will come home from drinking one night, sweaty and smelly, with all kinds of greases and crap all over him. He'll stare into a mirror at his body, his old body, and his codpiece, and his whiskey bottle in his hand, and his drawn face, and his bloodshot eyes. And he'll say to himself, what has this life wrought? What has this life brung? What can I say of this life as I stare at the freight train called reality? And here's what I'll tell you, Jerome. I mean future Jerome. Jerome, you're just a victim of your own bullshit. You're just a victim of your own evil doings, just as all the others. And guess what? That box labeled consequences, the box labeled consequences you thought you could just shove shit into and it would never explode, it's about to explode all over you, Jerome. Just like that little twink you hung out with tonight. That box of consequences, it's about to blow its load. You guys have a great Saturday, okay?